Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, the second hour of our weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. You know, we've got podcasts all through the week, but this program is live, and you can listen to it every weekend from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time. But if you miss the program, well, you know, maybe you're doing something else, you're busy, you're entertaining, you're driving, you can always pick up the podcast of this show on Mondays. We post that at drhoffman.com. You can get it through your usual podcast services. And you can call us. We're live. I'm sitting here awaiting your phone calls. 877-726-8255. That's 877-26-TALK. But we got a new wrinkle to our call-in, and that is that number, 877-726-8255, will be available 24/7. No, I'm not going to stay up all day, all night, 7 days a week to answer your questions whenever you call. But you can record a question, and we will play your question on a future show, and I'll answer your question. So jot that number down, 877-726-8255. The nutritional outrage of the week comes to us from Ben and Jerry's ice cream. They have all these crazy flavors. And a couple of years ago, they introduced something that became an instant favorite. It was cookie dough ice cream. And all of us remember, well, I certainly do, going to the bakery or maybe in mom's kitchen and being offered a taste of uncooked cookie dough, especially the kind that has chocolate chips in it. And it is nutritional nirvana. It's amazing stuff. But it's literally a calorie bomb. It's something that you might feed an animal that you were getting ready for slaughter if you wanted to gain a lot of weight. Or if you're trying to fatten up a goose's liver to make a pâté de foie gras. It is enormously caloric. It can cause all kinds of rapid metabolic shifts if you take a lot of it. So Ben & Jerry's has now introduced something that obviates the need even to have the ice cream. I mean, the ice cream, look, it's the cookie dough you want, but the ice cream gets in the way of your enjoyment of the cookie dough. So now they've offered, and I'm looking at the package here, Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough chunks. Snackable dough. It's snackable dough. So you can have this as a snack. They also feature the fact that it is vegan. It's vegan. So that's, you know, look, hey, how bad can it be for you if it's vegan? I mean, it's part of a vegan diet. It's, you know, you can eat your virtuous salad and your tofu. But if you want a little treat, a little snack vegan, it's vegan. You're not violating any dietary principles. You can have some Ben & Jerry's vegan chocolate chip cookie dough chunks. Now, let me tell you what's in it. Its ingredients consist of cream, skim milk, stop. What's vegan about dairy products? You know, it's okay. One thing, if you're an ovo-lacto vegetarian, that means you eat eggs and you have dairy and you're a vegetarian. But you don't qualify as a vegan unless you eliminate dairy and eggs. So some enterprising person ought to sue. So I'm a vegan and you told me it was vegan. And look at the ingredients, which include, of course, sugar and some additional brown sugar. Because just sugar is not enough. A little brown sugar. Egg yolks. Well, what's vegan about egg yolks? The animal product. Butter. That's also from last time I checked, an animal. Soybean oil. Well, that's vegan. coconut oil, chocolate liquor, vanilla extract, cocoa salt, molasses, guar gum, cocoa butter, natural flavors. I'm always a little suspicious of that term, natural flavors. A little carrageenan, which can cause intestinal inflammation. Some milk fat. Because what's that? Milk fat. That sounds like butter to me. And soy lecithin. Oh, that's vegan. Okay, that's good. So a serving size, the recommended serving size of this is a half cup. I bet you can't stop at a half cup when you have this. This food is perfect for a bulimic episode. Because, you know, you might stop at one package, but you're not going to stop at a half cup if you have the whole package in front of you. One half cup yields 280 calories, 16 grams of fat, 32 grams of carbohydrates, and just 4 grams of protein. Yeah, you don't need that protein. That protein gets in the way of your enjoyment of all those extra calories. So there you have it, our nutritional outrage of the week, courtesy of Ben and Jerry. But it's vegan, so it's virtuous. You can have as much of it as you want. No problem. This item comes to us from one of my favorite sources, Dr. Alan Gaby, in his review and commentary in Townsend Letter. He notes an article that suggests that probiotics prevent otitis media in children. That's ear infections. In this study, 61 children living in Spain were experiencing recurrent otitis media received the probiotic Lactobacillus salivarius. And that's a specific type of probiotic. Not every probiotic formula has Lactobacillus salivarius. But they selected the strain because it had previously been shown to have antimicrobial activity against the very self-same bugs that can cause otitis media. So compared with the 6 months before they got the probiotic, there was an 84% decrease in the number of episodes of acute otitis media during probiotic treatment. That's virtually eradicated. I mean, if it was 100% decrease, it would be of complete eradication of the otitis media. I'll take 84% decrease. Sounds pretty good to me. And so what this suggests is that we may be entering the era of targeted probiotic therapy, certain probiotics working against specific conditions, probiotics that help prevent UTIs in women, probiotics that help prevent otitis media, probiotics that help relieve the symptoms of ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, probiotics that may help alleviate anxiety and depression because we know that there's a gut-brain connection, even probiotics that may reduce the risk of neurodegenerative conditions like Parkinson's disease and even Alzheimer's disease. And recently a study suggested that they were very specific alterations in the microbiome of patients with fibromyalgia to the point where artificial intelligence could predict with 89% certainty, just on a basis of a stool sample, whether a patient would suffer from fibromyalgia, just based on the profile of their stool. So this is amazing advances in the field of probiotics. And I'll give a shout out to our friends at Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics Essential Formulas, because Dr. Ross Pelton, who's been a guest on our program, just published an article in the Townsend Letter, the self-same letter from which I got this otitis media study. And Dr. Pelton says, for several decades, the primary focus of microbiome science has been identifying and naming of specific species and or strains of bacteria. Well, his emphasis is not on so much the bacteria. They're important, but they are probiotics. His term that he has coined is postbiotics. It's a term that refers to the vast array of compounds that are produced by the metabolic activity of the probiotic bacteria in the digestive tract. These are byproducts of probiotic metabolism. They make helpful substances, substances that talk to the immune system. They make vitamins. They make short-chain fatty acids, which are very important for the health of the gut. And so these postbiotic metabolites can be taken in supplement form, and they're an important constituent of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, which contain prebiotics, the stuff that helps make the bacteria grow, but also the bacteria themselves, the probiotics, but postbiotic metabolites, which improve the health of the GI tract by adjusting the acid level towards an optimum. And they thereby reduce inflammation, they accelerate the growth of healthy new cells in the intestinal lining, and they compete and inhibit pathological bacteria, the bad bugs that cause disease. So his scientific paper is featured in the Townsend Letter. You can find it, and we congratulate him on getting it published, because it's really important advance in our knowledge of how probiotics work. It's not just the probiotics, it's the postbiotics that make a difference. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider a part of their daily health routine. I've received countless questions from my audience asking for a specific recommendation, so I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit, a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from, plus you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immune protocols, and much more. Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.
Looking for that perfect beach body this summer, or just trying to stay healthy? Managing your weight is so important. Weight management is more than simply calories consumed versus calories burned. Achieving your ideal weight also depends on your digestive system functioning effectively. Research has shown that one of the most important things in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of good bacteria, probiotics, in our GI tract. These friendly bacteria help regulate blood sugar, normalize our appetite, and process food that is challenging to digest with less gas and bloating. World-renowned Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a flora balancing system that does that and more. Dr. O'Hara's carefully selected strains of live, beneficial bacteria work synergistically to optimize health, aid in the absorption of our nutrients, and help with weight management. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Get them today. Available at Sprouts, Whole Foods and Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural health retailers. Also online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. We're live. We're taking calls. Let's hear from Barbara in Wayne, New Jersey. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. My last blood test, the C-reactive protein was 2.9, mm-hmm. but my cholesterol has inched up, and yep. the LDL is 135, and the HDL is 52. I don't want to go on a stat.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Well, okay, the CRP, is it the highly sensitive kind of CRP that measures cardiac risk? Is it the so-called cardio-CRP?
No, it just says C-reactive protein.
So it's a regular CRP.
Yeah.
I mean, it suggests that there's a little bit of inflammation in your body. I mean, that score is really not too bad. But, okay, so you don't want to go on a statin. Well, you don't have to go on a statin. Who says you need to go on a statin?
I'm just worried that the next blood test will tell me to go on one, and I'm going to tell them no.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're going to say no. We want to make that decision a prudent one. And, you know, I got to say that a fairly high percentage of the visits that I have in my office are from people like you, who want a second opinion on whether to go on a statin. And so in doing that, you know, it's kind of a careful thing. I have an open mind that some people really are at very high risk and they may benefit from a statin. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's some evidence that people who are at very high risk, who have arteries that are virtually about to close or have had heart attacks or they've had stents and they have pervasive cardiovascular disease, that they may need to be on statins. I'll concede that point. But the vast majority of people who merely have somewhat high cholesterol, and you know, they don't necessarily need to be on statins. But a C-reactive protein that's high, according to a study called the Jupiter study, provides another impetus to go on a statin, because that's about inflammation. And one of the things that statins do, besides lowering cholesterol, is they reduce inflammation. So the Jupiter study was great for the makers of statin drugs, because it suggested that, you know, even if your cholesterol is not so bad, if you have these inflammatory markers, if your C-reactive protein is high, we can add another 10 or 20 million Americans to the roles of those who are on statins, just merely because of high C-reactive protein. That's what the study suggested. However, I find that that's an oversimplification. When I do a second opinion on patients, I usually ask them to get what's called an EBT heart scan, which images the coronary arteries and shows whether there's calcium deposition. And, you know, last week I shared with our listeners a study that suggests that if you've got a zero score or even a score in single digits, you know, 7 or 9, on your CT coronary calcium, that you have virtually no rationale to go on a statin, because statins aren't going to offer you much more protection than you'll need, because you're very, very, very unlikely to get cardiovascular disease, have a heart attack or a stroke. So, I would recommend that you undertake that test. It's not terribly expensive. You can find a place that does it in your area. I think Englewood Hospital does it, but if not, come to New York. Inner Imaging does it in New York City. I know that Wayne's a little bit of a drive, but coming to New York City is not too infeasible for you. Get that test done. Maybe see a nutritionally oriented practitioner like myself to sort it out for you and tell you whether it pays to be on a statin medication. But for a lot of women, especially, even women with high cholesterol, they don't need the added protection that a statin can afford. And the downsides of side effects outweigh the benefits. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. Call us. We're here. We're live on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today. Available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And, you know, this show's been on for 31 years. It started in 1988 on a little radio station in New York that is now defunct, WMCA, and then we moved on to WOR. And now we branched out through Radio America to a variety of affiliates across the country. And so we have a legacy audience. We have an audience of people who've been listening for 30 years. I used to be on daily live during drive time on a major radio station in New York. And now we've supplanted our offerings with podcasts. So I'm always, it gets me kind of upset when I see people who are in their 60s or 70s, even 80s, who say, What happened to you? You used to be on the radio. And I answer, well, I am on the radio. And yeah, and some people say, well, yeah, but I'm in a place where the signal's weak. I can't get you. And I go, but we've taken care of that. You can listen on your computer. You can download the program. You simply have to go to drhoffman.com and you can click on all our podcasts. You can listen to, you can binge listen. You know, people binge watch some of their favorite series on TV. Well, you can, you know, get up at 6:30 in the morning and you can listen to literally dozens of podcasts. Just keep clicking on the podcasts. You can download them. You can subscribe to them. Kids know how to do this. A lot of millennials and Gen Xers know how to do this. It's second nature to them. But for baby boomers and for the what's called the greatest generation, it seems a little challenging. But I tell people who are older, and by older I mean people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, even beyond, I say, well, the best things you can do for your brain is to tackle that computer. And people say, oh, yeah, but, oh, it's too complicated. Oh, computers scare me. I can't take that on. And I said, well, if you don't take that on, your brain is going to turn to mush. And here I have a study from the American Academy of Neurology that suggests that what I've been saying is precisely true. The headline here is, can computer use, crafts, and games slow or prevent age-related memory loss? A new study has found that mentally stimulating activities like using a computer, playing games, crafting, and participating in social activities are linked to a lower risk or delay of age-related memory loss. It's also called MCI, mild cognitive impairment. It's common with aging. It doesn't necessarily lead to Alzheimer's disease, although you never know. It could be a precursor to full-on dementia. But it's not the same. It's just, you know, a little bit of a slowing of brain function related to brain aging, and it contributes to thinking and memory problems. But, of course, there are no drugs that effectively treat MCI, and there are no drugs that can reverse or even make a big dent in Alzheimer's disease. So, of course, we're looking at lifestyle factors, diet, nutrition, exercise, as well as activities that can slow the progression of memory loss. So in the study, they looked at 2,000 people, their average age was 78, who did not have mild cognitive impairment, and then they followed them. But they found that using a computer in middle age, check this out, was associated with a 48% lower risk of mild cognitive impairment. Using a computer in later life was associated with a 30% lower risk. So is there a drug or is there a vitamin or a supplement that is even that effective? That's pretty darn good. So get on your computer, get on your iPad, download programs. It doesn't necessarily have to be this program, although we like you to listen to Intelligent Medicine. And we believe that the information that you're going to receive will actually help you lead a more healthy life and protect your brain from deterioration. But the act of merely engaging with a computer, overcoming obstacles to its use, will be a good brain exercise. By the way, aging and social activities like going to movies or going out with friends associated with a somewhat lower 20% reduction in risk of developing mild cognitive impairment. Craft activities, hey, you know, get out in the garage and do some woodworking or some mechanical work. 42% lower risk. It could be, you know, also knitting, you know, working on a loom, you know, art, sculpture. Now, one limitation of the study, and they point this out, is that participants were asked to remember how often they participated in mentally stimulating activities in middle age. Up to 2 decades before the study began. So it may be that some people simply didn't recall properly what activities they were engaged in because they were already suffering from a more serious degree of mild cognitive impairment. But pretty good study, and it suggests that you got to engage. You got to stay. One of the things that I think keeps me young is the challenge of technology. The technology that's required to put this program on a daily basis, learning how to record programs and use electronic devices, the editing, the software, the equipment that's necessary to produce a daily Intelligent Medicine podcast. All that is my recipe for keeping my brain active and young. Are doctors treating more thyroid cancer patients than they should? Well, there's some new research suggests that people are getting overtreated for thyroid cancer. This is a big problem in medicine, is overtreatment, overkill. And a classic example of that is the what's called the Halsted radical mastectomy, which they invented in the early to mid-20th century. They said the more breast tissue you could remove, you know, after cancer, and just take out all the lymph nodes and make sure the cancer doesn't come back. So they overtreated a lot of women, and with devastating consequences. A lot of women had lymphedema, poor circulation to their arm after all the lymph nodes were removed, for cancers that may have responded to just a lumpectomy. Just take the cancer out and don't overdo the surgery, which sometimes also involved the pectoral muscle. The underlying muscle was removed and created a lot of cosmetic problems and very disabling. Well, this is about thyroid cancer. They found that nearly a quarter of low-risk thyroid cancer patients received more treatment than necessary. Now, with thyroid cancer usually is not a very aggressive cancer. It can be. It can kill you. But 97% of low-risk cancer patients have a five-year survival that's greater than that is 97% with just surgery, just taking out the cancer. But all too many patients receive radioactive iodine. And what the radioactive iodine does is it completely kills your thyroid, and it also kills off lingering cancer cells. But it's pretty intense treatment because it's radioactive. And how do you know that? Well, they reassure you that it's okay, it's not going to harm you. But when they give you that therapy, they put you in a room with one of those radiation signs on the door, like Chernobyl, and they don't want you to pick up your grandchildren or get close to your pets because you're so radioactive. And the radioactivity remains on your clothing, even on your sheets. And so the radioactivity is so high that airport security has picked up radioactivity from patients and their spouses. Can you imagine that? It's like you go through airport security and they think you have some sort of radioactive device that you're bringing on the plane to blow the plane up. So also there's the risk of long-term side effects such as altering the patient's perception of taste, and radioactivity can also increase the risk of other cancers, including leukemia. So what they're saying, and they're calling for restraint in administering radioactive, and some of you may be listening and you may say, well, I got that treatment. Was it really necessary? Well, according to the study, 98% of patients are survivors, and only in certain cases is the radioactive iodine necessary. And here's another one, an example of overkill. You know, I often talk about unnecessary use of antibiotics. And if you have, obviously, a cold, you don't need antibiotics. But even if you have sinusitis or even bronchitis, you probably don't need antibiotics. Many studies suggest that these are self-limited conditions that go away anyway.
and the antibiotics don't do much to hasten their resolution. But there's one condition where you absolutely need to take antibiotics, and that's pneumonia. That's a serious condition. I'll concede that you absolutely need to take antibiotics if you have pneumonia. But they say here a million times a year, pneumonia sends American adults to the hospital. And thank God for antibiotics, because they used to call pneumonia the old man's friend. It would, you know, at the end of life when you're debilitated and you're ready to meet your maker, pneumonia would dispatch you, and there was nothing they could do about it. And it wasn't a horrible death. It was just an exit scenario for a lot of people. Nowadays, a lot more people die of cancer, heart attacks, and strokes than pneumonia because we have antibiotics, and that's to the good. But in 93% of cases, they treat people in hospital for pneumonia, and then they send them home with additional antibiotics. And what they're saying here is that the majority of patients who get all these antibiotics, they don't need the, once they've had the antibiotics in hospital, they do not need these powerful antibiotics that they take home. So the suggestion is that that's a form of medical overtreatment, and with consequences, because we see so many cases of C. difficile diarrhea, their harmful effects of antibiotics on the heart, and ultimately antibiotic resistance occurs, where no matter what antibiotic you use, the bugs can evade destruction because they've adapted to all the antibiotics that you've used unnecessarily. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
The latest trend to hit the store shelves has the whole country buzzing. Cannabidiol, or CBD, might just be the greatest discovery of our generation, and it comes from a plant that is not so new, agricultural hemp. Yes, after 70 years of prohibition and misunderstanding, hemp is back to help you stay healthy and balanced. Growing research is showing that we have a lot to learn from the remarkable hemp plant. Nutrient-rich products like Plus CBD Oil's Total Plant Complex concentrated products provide broad-spectrum nutrition, including fatty acids, plant sterols, cannabinoids, terpenes, and naturally occurring vitamin E. From seed to shelf, all Plus CBD Oil products provide the highest quality hemp-derived CBD products available and are offered in a variety of delivery systems and flavors to suit your needs. Ask your local independent health food store about Plus CBD Oil products by CV Sciences today and learn more about the CBD evolution at PlusCBDOil.com. That's PlusCBDOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Jot that number down because you can call during the program. You can call 24/7, even when we're not on the air, and you can leave a message, and we'll take that recorded call and we'll use it for fodder on our next edition of Intelligent Medicine. But we got a live call from Jean in Florida. Hey, Jean, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I have a question, dear. I have anxiety disorder, and not just that, but I have high blood pressure.
Yep.
And I take Diavon and Norvasc.
Okay.
And the blood pressure wasn't kind of stabilizing like 3 years ago. So the doctor had it a small dose, I think 0.25, of Xanax.
Which is a benzodiazepine anxiety medication. Yep.
Right. And that did keep the blood pressure in check.
Okay. Now, so what you really have is, you know, they use the word hypertension. You put the tension in hypertension, you know, that it is, there's a stress reaction that causes your blood pressure to go up. So that's a type of high blood pressure that's hard to treat with ordinary blood pressure medications that just open up the blood vessels and allow the kidneys to release more water. Yours is like your nervous system starts to go out of kilter, and the Xanax takes the edge off that.
Yeah. And for some reason, I went to the doctor, you know, hearing about the Bayerlis and so on, asked the doctor to take me off and to see, you know, if I could, you know, kind of go without the medication.
Yep.
Now, they gave me some Clonopin to help me, which is a long-term, they said, benzo, to get off. Now,
right.
I stayed for almost 1 year trying to get off because other things they tried to give me to help along with it while I was getting off, almost off. I was taking 0.25,
right.
Reach like every 5 days now. But
right.
Everything they give me to help me,
yeah.
I start to get like fibromyalgia type thing, burning,
wow.
And they don't help me.
Oh, so what you're going through, Gene, and you're describing a form of withdrawal from benzodiazepines, because pain response is part of your brain's reactivity, and to some extent, when you take a benzodiazepine, it will blunt your perception of pain. So, conversely, when you're on benzodiazepines for a long time, part of that withdrawal syndrome could be bodily aches and pains. So it's tough to get off these darn medications. That's why, you know, the best thing is to use them sporadically, occasionally. You know, if you have panic attacks, you know, keep them in your glove compartment or your back pocket in case of danger, you know, in case of emergency, break glass, you know, like a fire extinguisher, to put the fire out when you have an episode of anxiety. But to take them chronically, it's sometimes very hard to get off. I have patients who have taken years to get off of these benzodiazepines. So one thing I might suggest, I mean, you need sort of a comprehensive workup to see what can be done. You might have low magnesium. Magnesium can have a relaxing, sedating effect. Theanine is also helpful. A product called PharmaGABA. GABA is an inhibitory neurotransmitter that can be helpful. In women, we sometimes give them a little bit of progesterone because progesterone has a mildly sedating effect. It works on the same receptors that the benzodiazepines work on in your nervous system. So I find benzodiazepine very helpful for women with anxiety, especially around the time of menopause. And finally, there's CBD. Are you familiar with CBD, cannabidiol, Gene?
I hear about it.
That's something that you really can try, and you know, do it with you know, a little help and supervision from a doctor who understands the use of hemp-derived CBD. It's not going to harmfully interact with the Xanax or the Clonopin, and it may help to ease the withdrawal. It is not as strong, which is to the good. It's not addicting. And it may help to sort of gently take the edge off anxiety. The other thing, obviously, is the right kind of talk therapy, something called CBT, not to be confused with CBD, cognitive behavioral therapy, which involves, you know, a series of visits with a health professional, usually a trained PhD or, you know, psychiatric social worker, to help you with techniques that will relax you and help you cope with your anxiety. So there you have it. Well, thank you very much for the call. All the best to you. Hope you overcome that problem. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Check out our website at drhoffman.com to become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Lots of content there. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Download our podcast. Take advantage of them. And also use that number, 877-726-8255, to record a question that we'll answer on the air. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stay healthy. This is Intelligent Medicine.